We are in Ephesians, and we are going through the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to be looking at I am an heir, and that we are a partaker in the promise. Now, last week, folks, we was talking about how that the Jews, they were, in their mind, the only one that deserved to have Christ poured out upon them, to know the love of God. They were the only ones that was going to be chosen to be part of the love of God. And then we saw that last week that God said, no, I'm going to I'm going to give my love to the Gentiles as well. Well, the Jews thought that because they were circumcised and they had lived into the covenant from Abraham's day, that they would be the only one that was due that promise. And so we found out last week that it's not only the Jews that thought that they were circumcised, but the Gentiles came to have the same thing offered to them, and they were uncircumcised. And they had the same thing offered to them that the Jews had. And we also talked about that no matter what, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, then we know that unless you are circumcised in your heart, no fleshly nothing will take a place of being circumcised in your heart. You have to accept Jesus Christ. You have to know Him, and you have to have that relationship with Him. We move into the third chapter of Ephesians 1 through 6 today. And so we're going to look at what Paul is telling us. He's promising us that we will have this salvation. And so, folks, as we look and see that Paul is in prison at this given time. He is sitting with chains on, and he is still writing the letter to the church at Ephesus. He is sitting there. Where would we be if we were sitting in an old cold prison? Where would we be? We would be all down and out. We would be all in some kind of mood that we would not want to even be reading about Jesus, much less partaking into writing something about Jesus. And so Paul is in prison. And he says that he tells us he's in prison, but he says, I am a prisoner for Jesus Christ. He said, I'm in prison because they've locked me up because they don't want me talking about Jesus. They don't want me preaching about Jesus. They don't want me doing the things that I'm doing. But he said, I owe everything I have to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you put me, what you do with me, I'm still going to preach Jesus Christ. That's awesome, folks. How many of us, no matter what our circumstance might be, still preaches Jesus Christ? It's easy to sidestep Jesus. It's easy to get off on a second path, and it's easy not to want to talk about Jesus in times that when things are hard and things are tough. So in the third chapter, we'll read through the first six verses. Paul tells us that when I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you, for you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending His grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God Himself revealed His mysterious plan to me, and as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to precious generations, but now by His Spirit He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, you know, folks, as we take a look at this, we see that Paul is saying he has been appointed. He's been given the responsibilities, depending on what version of the Bible that you read. But he is telling us right off the bat that I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, and that he has been given a special responsibility of extending his grace to the Gentiles. So he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He is living his life entirely, 100% for Christ. Now, I don't know how many of us ever thought about taking a week, 1 week of your life, and living it 100% for Christ Jesus. Would you do that? Could you do that? What would that look like if we did? You say, well, Mike, I'd pretty much do that all the time. Really? If you live your life 100% for Christ Jesus, it's going to require a lot out of you. I mean, a whole lot out of you. And so we stop and we think about being a prisoner of Christ and living every day, every hour that you're awake for what you think Christ would have you to do at that given moment. While Paul was in prison, he was writing letters. He was writing the continuing to write that would be end up being what we know the Bible. So you see, folks, he was doing something continuously for Jesus. Today, I know myself, if you don't get a little bit of scooter time, if you don't get a little bit of fishing time, if you don't get a little bit of time in front of the TV, we don't feel like we're being treated right, do we? That's right. That's what we think. We think we're not being treated right. You got to have a little bit of me time. Last night, watching the football game, I know most everybody did, I'm sure, and there was a commercial on, and y'all probably saw that commercial if you paid any attention to it, and they were talking about, they had this guy, had this little girl by the hand, and he was saying, we got to do this on Monday and this on Tuesday, and we had the whole week filled up. And she said, and then Sunday is me time. I'm not giving up my me time. Really? What would that have been if we'd have had a commercial saying Sunday is God's day? Sunday is God's time. Sunday is a time that we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, what we're teaching our kids, if we're not bringing them to church, if we're not placing them in the where they can hear the Word of God, then it's probably not happening. Because we, as adults, we're failing the younger generation. But Paul said that I have a responsibility of extending this grace to the Gentiles. He has a responsibility. So what has happened here? He knows that he has been given this responsibility. And he knows that the responsibility that he was given to him came from, he talks about it in Acts 26, but it came from the Lord itself. And I want us to just listen just a moment to Acts 26. And so Paul, we know that he was on, we'll just start at the 12th verse. Just listen to these words, folks. For Paul said, I have a responsibility, and this is where it comes from. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, and with the authority and commission of the leading priest, about noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. So he says that he's telling us here in Ephesians that he's been appointed. He's been given the responsibility of extending this grace. I agree with him 100%. It tells us right there in Acts 26 that God had brought him to his knees. And we know that there was days that he couldn't see then. And then we know his sight was restored. And we know that God had made him an apostle. He had seen the living Lord. Now, folks, he's trying to tell the people as he writes this letter, I'm a prisoner of Christ because of what he's done for me. I was persecuting his people. I was killing these people. He was there the day Stephen was stoned. I was doing it all, and Christ knocked me down. He took my sight, and he got my attention, and now he is allowing me to be an apostle for him. So I owe everything I have to him, everything I have. And guess what? They didn't have TV. They didn't have scooters. They didn't have boats and fishing poles and all that good stuff to take our mind off of the things that was going on. They did have a net to throw outside of a boat to catch some fish to eat and to trade on, but that was about it. They did not have the things to distract us that we have today, to distract them that we have today, folks. We live in a world of distractions. I don't know if you think about that or not, but you live in a world of 100% distractions. Everywhere you look, there's something that's distracting you away from having the thoughts that you should have about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can drive down the road, and I can be thinking about the Lord, and I'll get to looking over here in this man's yard and that fella's yard, and next thing you know, I'm thinking, my gosh, where did Kenny get that helicopter? I mean, you know, that's the thing that I think about. And I'm going to come back around and I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, Kenny, we need to go fly this thing. And, you know, so that's what we come up with. But Kenny can buy the helicopter. I can't. I can ride in it, that's for sure, and I want to ride in it. So he hadn't got one right now. I'm just aggravating him. He probably got an airplane or two. But I love to fly, folks. And when I'm around that, that's where my mind goes. It leaves my Lord and Savior, and it goes to whatever I enjoy doing. And that's pretty much everything that I enjoy doing. So we see that Paul is saying, I've been given the responsibility. You know, sometimes I think in a week's time that I've been given a responsibility to be your pastor. Some weeks are a lot more hectic than other weeks. So when I have a week that's more hectic than other weeks, I'm thinking, Lord, really? I mean, I wasn't planning on doing this week. I wasn't planning on being this busy. I wasn't planning on having to go to Nashville. I wasn't planning on doing the things that I'm having to do today. And I stop and I think, How good God has been to me. Folks, I could never tell you how good he's been. Just like Paul, he has blessed my life so much, in so many ways. And so how could I deny not being a prisoner of Jesus Christ? How could I deny not doing what he would want me to do? So as we think about this responsibility that has been given to Paul, he takes it seriously, folks. And he says, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me, just as we've read. And you read, as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the precious generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. You see, folks, God had not given it the opportunity to the Gentiles before Jesus had come into the world. It had been a life of living under, what I've heard lots of people say, living under God's anger. But after Jesus came, Jesus, he showed us mercy. And he gave us salvation through that death on the cross. And as we stop and we think about that mercy and that salvation that he offers to us, we no longer live under the anger that God had toward the people back before in the Old Testament. But even in the Old Testament, folks, as we stop and we think about the Old Testament, how the people lived, and how it runs parallel, just like a train track, to the New Testament, we tried to show y'all that a lot in the last 3 years, but I want you to hear where Paul is coming from in the Old Testament, if I can find it right now. In the Old Testament, you stop and think about where Paul is at. And you're saying, well, the Lord is providing Paul to fulfill the Scriptures. Oh, really? Is he? Yes, he is. In Isaiah 49, 5 and 6, I want you to hear the reading and see if this isn't Paul that you're hearing. And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me from my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. Now listen to verse 6. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Isn't that what we're reading right now? Very same thing that we're seeing and reading right now. We find it in the Old Testament. Isaiah prophesied about it. He told us what was going to happen, that the Gentiles would have the same opportunity as the Jews, and that there would be one that would come and that would offer that to them, Jesus Christ. But in doing so, Jesus made Paul an apostle. Paul set out his mission to spread the gospel everywhere he went, to tell everyone he could about Jesus Christ. And in doing so, telling everyone about Jesus Christ, that this was God's plan for both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news, that they share equality. So folks, today, no matter who you're talking to, what you're thinking about yourself versus someone else, I've not lived as good a life as someone else, I'm not as good a person as someone else. What does it tell us in Ephesians 2? That it's by God's grace and His grace alone that we're saved. By God's grace. You know, this morning we was getting ready and one of the preachers was on and he was talking about you have one moment that you can mess up a whole lot of stuff in your life. That's one moment. And it doesn't, just one bad decision, one bad deal, and you can be messed up for a long, long time. You'll pay for that mess up the rest of your life. But for one moment, if you'll sit down and ask God to forgive you, He will, because of Jesus Christ and through that grace that He has offered. Paul had messed up a lot, folks. He had been Saul. He had been there, as I said, when Stephen was stoned. He was there to kill all of God's people that didn't believe the way the Jews believed. And he thought that he was doing the right thing until Jesus showed him that this was not the right path to be on, Paul. Saul, you need to be Paul and you need to be teaching people about my grace and about my mercy and about my salvation. And so we see that Paul decided to live into God's plan for both the Jews and the Gentiles, and that the good news that he shared equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. You know, folks, that inheritance that we have waiting on us, that inheritance is so good and so wonderful. But how excited are you about this inheritance that God is offering to you? How excited are you that you know that you have this inheritance waiting? And it's coming. It's coming quicker than you think because we're getting older every day, no matter what your age. We're getting older every day and we draw closer to God every day. And so how excited are we about knowing that we have this inheritance? Just, it's going to be there. It's ready for us. Yesterday, we was talking with some people, me and Tammy and And one of the guys said, "You know, I don't know, man." He said, "It's coming. You know, we're not going to get out of here." And but I said, "I'm looking so forward to this big trip." You know, we all love a trip. Everybody likes to go somewhere. I don't care if it's nowhere but the Osage. We like to go somewhere. And you can go and enjoy it. There's people out there that I enjoy visiting with. And that, so you can, that's between Cottage Grove and Puryear, Lauren. He's saying, "Where's Osage at?" Yeah, but so there's people that you can go and visit and enjoy, and people will welcome you folks to sit on the porch and talk to them. And so we have this inheritance that is so great, and it is coming, and it's going to be a big trip. It's going to be a big, big day, the day that we leave and that we can come and be with Jesus. Can you imagine what that trip's going to be like? It's going to be wonderful. And Paul was saying, you have this inheritance. And so he said, it's a promise, this promise that of salvation. He said, listen to me, folks. Be excited about it. Take it out into the world and tell others about it. How many people do you think's telling others about it? If they didn't see it last night, Tennessee winning that ball game, I think they said it was 110,000. I mean, they were tore down about it. You know, have you ever seen anybody get that excited about God? That excited about Jesus Christ? No, and you won't. But one day we will stand in front of Him, and it will be so beautiful. And that trip, that excitement of going on that trip is going to be so grand. It's going to be so above and beyond our imagination that we can never, ever, ever imagine what it's going to be like. And I think that day will be so exciting. Now, standing in front of Him, I do dread, even though I know I'm saved by His grace, I know that He knows that I could have done better. But I'm going to say, I have nothing to say, not one thing to say except the grace of God. That Jesus Christ died upon that cross for paid my sin debt, and He offers me a place. And He tells us that it's true that He offers this place. He said, if it was not true, I would have told you. So He's gone and prepared this place for us. And yet, we never even talk about it. Never mention it. We just mention selling our house and getting a bigger one. That's all we talk about here on this earth. We're never satisfied with where we live. But one day, folks, one day soon, you have this promise that you are an heir to Christ. You have this promise that you will live with Christ. And I just hope and pray that you've made and have that relationship with Him and made that arrangement with Him to know that you will spend eternity with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.